Time to talk fishing now and the outdoors with our guest, Gary Engberg of Maze of Mania, Wisconsin, professional fisherman, fishing guide, outdoor photographer, columnist, and co-host of the Madison-based radio show, Outdoor Horizons. You want to join in? Maybe you've got a question or maybe you got a story to tell. Wouldn't mind hearing an ice fishing story or two. Or here we've got spring coming now, and, you know, spring is always full of hope for the fisher person. And I've got some hope about muskies and
about a 50-pound muskie.
Yeah, you know, I've got some hope about a 50-pound muskie. Maybe you have some hopes, or maybe you have some questions, or maybe you have some stories to share. In any event, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. 1-890. Give us a call. You know, there was a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article about a muskie fish. I'm talking about muskies here for a minute. John Borowski received a revelation that changed his fishing life. And frankly, I learned this myself over time. He keeps meticulous records, and his greatest successes came while fishing at night, especially when the sky provided either a full moon or a new moon. And I'm wondering if you share his enthusiasm for night fishing.
Definitely the moon does make a difference, especially this time of year right now. Like you were talking about open water and ice fishing. Well, there's still going to be probably another 10 days to 2 weeks at least of ice fishing. The local Madison area lakes over the weekend, there was anywhere from 16 to 20 inches of ice still. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take a little while for that to go. But the Wisconsin River has opened up, and you know, most rivers in Wisconsin are open year-round for angling for most species, particularly walleyes and sluggers, and the Wisconsin River has just started to have a pretty good bite. I mean, the water temperature is still very cold, upper 30s, you know, walleye start spawning, you know, 42 to 45, but last weekend was the first weekend on Saturday and Sunday that people started catching fish below the dams in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin Dells, Nakusa, Castle Rock, up and down the Wisconsin River, and fish have been biting pretty good on the Mississippi for a while. So it's getting to be that time of the year. You know, there's been traditionally, you know, your smaller male fish will migrate up the, you know, your river systems, and they're going to be the first to arrive to your spawning areas, and the females show up later. But people are catching smaller fish. I know of though a couple 10-pound fish caught over the weekend. So it's getting to be that time, and especially with the weather coming and warming up again.
What's your opinion as to why walleye fishing, for example, is better at night? I've got some thoughts about muskie men.
Well, one thing is that the way their eyes are situated is they're very sensitive to light. So that's why, I mean, especially in a river system, they will move a lot shallower because you have stained water and the light is more diffused when it hits the water. Walleyes traditionally anywhere, people usually don't even fish them shallow enough because even in the, you know, the dead of summer in 75, 80 degree water, you can find fish a lot of times in 10 feet, 5 feet and less. The most important thing is that fish are going to go where the forage or where the feed is. And this time of year, especially after going through a long, you know, long cold winter, fish are going to be moving shallow because that's where most of your food is going to be. They're looking right now for areas that warm up quicker. You know, 1 degree in water temperature is like 10 degrees to a fish. So a little bit, you know, you get some runoff in a culvert, runoff from rain, melting snow, moving into a river system's going to warm up the water a little bit. That's going to move in your bait fish, your forage, your insects, get your whole food cycle going, which in turn will bring in your walleyes.
And I know from muskie fishing, I think especially, well, it depends on the lake a little bit, but night fishing is proven to be much more successful on many lakes simply because of the boat traffic. during the day.
Well, as an example, Lake Mendota, you know, just right here in Madison, is traditionally, especially for walleyes and for big walleyes, is a night lake. I mean, even during the winter. And I don't know why that is during the winter. During the summer, you know, with all the boat traffic, that's when the fish are going to feed when there's left traffic on the water. But same thing goes in the winter. Nighttime is always a better time to fish. Traditionally, you know, your fish are going to be moving shallower. But what also happens, and like this past summer when we had that real hot weather, you know, the 90, 100 degree temperatures, a good friend of mine, another guide in our group, Lee Talkin, who's a real very good muskie guide, he goes up to Lakes Mille Lacs for 2 months and does his fishing there. All his fishing was done between 10 o'clock at night and 6 in the morning. And he boated last year, just on Lake Mille Lacs, 23 walleyes over 50 inches. Matter of fact,
23 muskies.
That's muskies. Yeah. 23 muskies over 50 inches. Matter of fact, DNR Secretary Scott Hassett and his son were up there in July fishing with Lee. They caught two fish. His son caught two fish within an hour, hour and a half, both over 50 inches. You know, throwing top water, you know, baits at night. And, you know, the muskies are up on shallow water fishing, you know, feeding. You know, because they're, you know, during the heat of the day, and especially with the boat traffic, you know, they're staying in deeper water.
And I've learned that you need to fish a little differently and need to have some special equipment with you when you're fishing at night.
Yeah, you better know where everything is. First of all, what I do when I fish at night, especially like this time of year, a wader, if you're wading in the rivers, you can end up almost as good luck as a person in the boat. But I wear, like, you know, the old miner. I have an elastic band light that I wear on my hat so I can see. And if you have a boat, if you're going out fishing in a boat and you're not, you know, set up properly, there's a lot of different type of lights you can get your boat. So when you're tying and netting and just casting, where you know everything is, and that's the other thing, you should make sure that everything is where you want it to be before you go out, so you, when you still can see, you know, because the last thing you want to do is get a good fish on and be stumbling around the boat, you know, sitting on hooks, getting yourself hooked up. You know, it's you have to be organized before you go night fishing.
Maynard and Mercer will give you a chance now. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hey, I was just going to talk about Wolf River raft fishing. There's only two rivers in the state, Wolf River and Mississippi, where you can fish off a raft, the shack, you know, and I had some stories, but some are illegal and the others are lies, so I just thought I'd say hi, guys.
I'm going to be fishing the Wolf River. The In Fisherman Professional Walleye Trail has their second tournament of the year is the end of April on the whole Winnebago-Winneconne system. And we'll be going out of Winneconne, and most of the fishing will be up in the Wolf and the Rat River.
Yeah, you gotta stop by the Pleasure Palace and say hi.
Well, if I know where, I'll tell you, people do have some palaces set up there along the Wolf where they got their boats tied up there, and they got long poles and lanterns, and they're set up lawn chairs and barbecues. They have a good time.
Thanks a lot for calling, Meter. Appreciate it. You want to join in with a story or a question or a comment here as we talk fishing in the outdoors with Gary Engberg, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or in the Madison area, reach us at 263-1890, 263-1890. Give us a call with your questions and comments. You mentioned fishing tournaments, and I know there have been some studies that have examined culling on fishing tournaments in Wisconsin, the bass fishing tournaments. And I think there was an article in the DNR just recently on that. I don't know if you saw that.
Well, when they have the conservation hearings coming up, I think there's going to be a couple questions on tournament fishing. And what it has done is they're trying to keep down fish mortality. And what happened is they had a couple, the FLW, which is a fishing tournament organization out of Kentucky, had a tournament on the Mississippi River, and they had people who were culling fish, and they, you know, for the tournament, Wisconsin has a no-cull law.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you put it in your live well, That's a kept fish.
Yeah.
That's part of your possession. So that's one thing that Wisconsin doesn't allow cull, so you have to make that decision before. But, you know, they're trying to base their tournament, their regulations upon the size of the tournament, the amount of money it brings in, the number of boats, and also they're looking for the, you know, the well-being of fish, because you don't want to have, you know, people, you know, running. You know, in some tournaments now, if you have a tournament, let's say, out of Green Bay, people might be running 40, 50 miles, you know, to where they're fishing, and keeping fish in a live well, especially in the warmer months, you're going to have a high mortality rate. You know, at all these tournaments, they have control pens with fish, and then they also have, you know, so they're really watching, you know, what happens to these fish. And the DNR is conducting this, and they watch the fish even. They hold them for days after the tournament is over to see what the mortality rate. So they are trying to make some progress here.
And they did actually find, some of the findings have been that things have, it's been pretty good. They have
There's the one person, if anyone is interested in looking at anything about the catch and release, the person's name is Hal Schramm, and they're from Louisiana State University, and they've done all the statistics and all the testing for BASS in the United States, and Hal Schramm's a good person who probably knows about as much as the fish mortality as anyone.
Let's go to Joanna and Nina next. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I realize you're talking fishing tournaments and expert fishing, and are you ready for novice questions?
We can talk cane pole fishing, too.
Good, good. Well, I am on my way to work, heard you, and I hope you can help me. I'm looking to take my 80-year-old father fishing come spring and summer here. Both of us are very novice. Looking for some place to catch fish. I don't care what kind it is, as long as we can eat it. Maybe mm-hmm. within a 25 to 35 mile radius.
Of Nina.
Well, in Lake Winnebago, is a great fishery for about any type of species. And there's a lot of, one thing Lake Winnebago has is great access as far as boat landings. And also there's a lot of piers, you know, that people can fish off that are made for the general public and for handicapped people. So I would, Keldon Kammer is the fishing manager for the Winnebago area. If you look up the DNR and then find the Winnebago Fish Manager,
okay. Mm-hmm.
or look on their website, and the website is actually, the DNR has a fantastic website where if you punch in about anything you want, body of water, or anything you're looking for, you can find the answer for, or you can find someone to contact. But
okay.
I would suggest, then also, too, you have, like we were talking about Winneconne, you know, there's a lot of good fishing done right off the bridge in downtown Winneconne there. You know, in the spring, they catch a lot of walleyes and saugers, you know, early in the year. And then there's a white bass run, you know, about 2-3 weeks later where there's real good shore fishing.
And we're
That's what we need right now. And then would the DNR be able to answer questions as far as type of bait and...
Yeah, there's just oodles of information on there as far as, you know, what type of, how to set up different types of rigs and setups for fishing, what type of species you're going to be fishing for. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, if you want, it's never a bad idea to hire a guide for maybe a half a day and, you know, four from your area who could maybe set you straight. But look up on the DNR website, or, you know, you can get a hold of me, and I do the best I can to, you know, try and set you straight.
Yeah, and stay listening, because we'll talk some more about novice fishing, too, equipment and so forth as well, with our guest professional guide, Gary Engberg. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking fishing today with professional fisherman and guide Gary Engberg of Mazamani, Wisconsin, one of our regulars here on the Ideas Net. Glad to have him along. And certainly, if you have a question or a story or a comment, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. By the way, before I forget it, you've got a website there, Gary, and what's that website address?
Actually, I have my website. It's GaryEngbergOutdoors.com, but it's totally being redone right now, so wait a couple of weeks, and we're going to have some video and audio and everything. It's still up right now, but matter of fact, Jim Packer told me we even had some spelling mistakes on it. So I have to do a little bit of work, but I'm totally going to have a new blog, new website, which will have a blog and a podcast and a lot of good fishing information that will be refreshed weekly.
Jim in Milwaukee will give you a chance.
Yeah, my question is about the size limit for taking a fish, particularly a bass. I had a cottage on a great bass lake, and I'd have to throw away these or put back the 12-inch because there was a 14-inch limit, and I thought a 12-inch was a great eating fish and a little bit of younger fish, so there's less... contaminants, yet there was this 14-inch keeper limit. I understand big limits, but not keeping a 14-inch for eating versus a 11 or 12-inch.
Well, I think the DNR has done enough study and enough research there where there are reasons for having your minimum size limits and stuff like that. I mean, if you come to Lake Mendota in Madison, you have an 18-inch size limit for smallmouth bass. So, I mean, 18-inch fish is a trophy in a lot of places. But, you know, there's a reason, and it's probably backed by a lot of research, why. There's no doubt that smaller fish are, it's like vegetables. They do taste better. I mean, you know, like if you're talking about perch, those 8-9 inches, even though they may be a pain to clean, they still taste a little bit better than the bigger ones. I mean, a 15-16-inch walleye tastes a lot better than a 25-inch walleye. And there is, it's true, too, you know, the longer the fish live, the more the chance is to pick up contaminants.
Yep. Thanks, Jim, for calling. Fred in Crystal Lake, Illinois, it's your turn. Hi, Fred.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks for calling.
A Fox Lake guy.
I'm an avid smallmouth bass fisherman, and we generally spend a lot of time in the UP of Michigan up towards the Copper Harbor area where we catch as many 3 or 4 pounders as we want, and I primarily throw them back. But I'm having difficulty in finding a good smallmouth bass lake in Wisconsin, other than Lake Geneva or perhaps the Green Bay area where there's, you know, you can fish in Lake Michigan. But do you have any other recommendations of lakes that we could get to that might, you know, provide some smallmouth bass population?
The lake that I've mentioned and talked about already a couple times, Lake Mendota, right here in the shadow of the Capitol in Madison, is a fantastic smallmouth. We said with an 18-inch minimum. A lot of fish, you know, 20, 21 inches. There's a fan. Smallmouth have really blossomed and really seem to have mushroomed in their growth in a lot of area waters. And smallmouth have done very, very well here. There's a great smallmouth bite year-round. I mean, beginning of the year, it'll start soon after opening. I think the opening this year is May 5th. You know, outside the weed lines, we fish them a lot. You know, you'll fish them with spinner baits. You'll fish them with crankbaits a lot. You can fish them with live bait, even though we don't like to use live bait because, right. You know, they'll swallow it. If you use live bait, make sure you use a circle hook because then you'll probably just hook them in the corner of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
But Mendota has lots of good structure. Smallmouth, we know, love rocks. And Mendota has some great rock bars, some great rock bottoms, a lot of deep water, and it's a fantastic smallmouth fishery. And I would, if you fish during the week, you're not going to have as much boat traffic, not anything near like Lake Geneva you're talking about. Also, too, the Winnebago system, and that's also the upper lakes, Poygan, Winneconne, Butamore, they have a very good smallmouth population, as does the big lake of Winnebago itself. And Lake Winnebago, that's 30 miles long and 10 miles wide. There's a lot of artificial reefs now that the smallmouth are using. The Walleyes for Tomorrow Conservation Group put these in for walleyes, but the smallmouth are using them just as much.
It's great.
All right.
Good.
Try Mendota.
We'll try. Thank you very much.
Yeah, try Mendota for sure. It's a fantastic fishery, and it's closer to Chicago, or closer to Crystal Lake, Illinois, than a lot of other places that you mentioned, that's for sure, in the UP. Sal in Spring Green, hello to you.
Hi, Larry. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, Sal.
Say, the best walleye
got the day off,
ate.
Huh?
Yeah, right. The best walleye I ever ate was in up north in a cabin prepared by a guide, and I wish you would share a recipe with us.
Oh, that might have been with old Steve Hopkins, I think.
That was it.
Oh, I think I remember that time. Last time I was with Larry, we did a show on shore lunches.
Uh-huh.
And I make up just a good old batter. Matter of fact, we used to use Gary Roach's batter and then add a few, which is a commercial batter that's sold in most grocery stores, and we'd add a few of our own little secrets, you know, paprika, onion, salt, and stuff to it. But you got to make sure you use peanut oil or an oil that'll take a high temperature. The key is to have your temperature 375 and above just before smoking. Use a good quality oil and have those, you know, those fillets, you know, cut in a nice, not too big pieces and not too thick, and just get them in there, and you know, they should bubble, and just get a nice crisp coating on them as soon as you get them in that hot oil. And then, you know, baked beans, some good potatoes, and I think we had some rhubarb pie, too.
Thanks,
Gary. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks a lot for calling. Yeah, peanut oil. Well, it's great stuff. I love peanut oil.
Or leaf lard.
Yeah.
Leaf lard is really good if you can get it, because you can also get it real high. Temperature is the key.
Vince in Two Rivers. Hi, Vince.
Hello. After those last comments about the shore luncher, I want to head for a restaurant.
Yeah, me too.
We're in the backyard.
Right. Anyway, I wanted to ask about, I'm new to the Two Rivers area, and want to ask about the spring trout fishing in those tributaries, Manitowoc, Two Rivers.
That's all going to be a real good bite. Matter of fact, the people are starting to fish. You know, your tributaries on Lake Michigan are, you know, open year round. A very good guide I know out of the Milwaukee area is Eric Tahaha, and he fishes the open water. You know, he fishes the power plants and the open water as long as he can. And he was fishing the tributary streams of Lake Michigan, you know, before it actually got cold, well into January. What they're doing, mostly the type of techniques, they're, you know, drifting spawn sacks, trying to use fresh spawn that they'll cure overnight. And or spoons or tube jigs and some of the things work very well too. But they're just, you know, waiting or fishing from shore and just slowly drifting, you know, using a long rod, probably a 9-10 foot rod, and just drifting through these various holes very slow. And you have a lot of brown trout and a lot of steelhead are in those streams. And they'll be there right now.
Okay.
Get Thank out you. There, Vince.
Okay, thanks much.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Loretta in Eau Claire, we'll turn to you. Hi, Loretta.
Hi, Lyric. Had to hear your voice better.
Thank you.
I had a wonderful teacher in college for natural history of vertebrates, and he was an ichthyologist, and he really was emphatic with our dealing with fish to be sure and wet your hands before you touch them, because if you have dry hands, you'll take this protective slime or mucus off of their skin, and they will almost for sure get a fungal disease or something.
That's a very important thing, and most people don't realize that. At any time, like, make sure anytime you're handling a fish, and I don't care if it's a panfish, a walleye, a muskie, you know, do have your hand wet, because that protective slime or coating, you know, is one of their safeguards against, like you said, fungus and various diseases.
Right, because I notice even in outdoor Wisconsin and stuff, they don't do that. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, well, The last few shows I saw Dan Small, they were just catching bluegills and some panfish, and they weren't that concerned. But, it you know, that thing is true for any species of fish, no matter what size.
Yeah. Well, thank you for my chance.
Yeah, thanks, Loretta. Very good point. Bob in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Well, hello. Good afternoon. Good morning. Yeah, it's afternoon.
Yeah,
already.
It's afternoon.
Hey, just one quick item, though. I think you mentioned a guide in the Milwaukee area. You said Eric Tahaha.
Yep.
I think it's pronounced Hadia.
Hadia, it is. It's H-A-A-T-A-J-A.
Yeah. One other quick item. I guess the question I've got is, you hear sometimes of folks fishing for bass, you know, while bass are still spawning. I was wondering, is that sometimes before the season even opens, or when the season opener starts, does that mean before then you can't even soak a line, or does that mean you just can't keep a fish?
Well, you can't keep a fish, and actually, I mean, it's not really ethical or moral, I would say, to be out there trying to catch fish before, you know, fish where the season isn't open yet. I mean, accidental catches do happen, but to go out and target a fish before the opener, you know, is not really good. And usually, you're sight fishing for your largemouth bass. They're going to spawn later when your water temperature is well up into the 60s. But, you know, I don't even like to take fish off their beds, because that's, you know, I consider they're going to be reproducing, and that's where you're going to have your, you know, your fish for your future generations. So, you know, if you go in an area where you see either largemouth or smallmouth on their beds, you know, those males are very, very protective, and you throw anything near, you know, near that bed, they're going to grab it, and it's not really a hard time to catch fish. You'll see a lot of bass tournaments, you know, down south times of year where all they're fishing, they're doing is sight fishing and pulling fish off the beds, and I don't necessarily agree with this, and I'm sure other people will disagree with me, but I just don't think it's very ethical.
Hmm. The reason I brought that up is because I've seen that even on local, or I should say regional fishing shows, where you've got local hosts fishing on bass beds in northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, and that always kind of struck me as odd as to why they would be doing that. So I just wanted to clear that up.
Well, yeah. Usually they try, and I mean, that's why ideally you hope your fish have spawned and before, you know, your season opens, but that isn't the case in a lot of species. But, you know, you just have to use your good common sense, and it's actually up to you and what you believe in.
Thanks a lot, Bob, for calling. By the way, if you want to join in, we finally have some open lines again here. The lines were full for a long time, but now there's a few open ones at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give us a call. And let's go to Marilyn in Washburn next.
Oh, good morning.
Hi there.
Or good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question that's been bothering me for many years, and I hope you can help me to understand. I don't know of any other pastime where the prey is subject to so much torment before it finally dies. And can you explain that to me? I know there are other ways to catch fish. More mercifully, it takes a terrific amount of skill. But if you can explain that to me, I would really appreciate it. Hmm. And I'll take your comments off the phone.
All right.
That's really a hard question because I don't know if, I mean, I know that, you know, fish are cold-blooded. They don't have quite the feelings that, I mean, that a human does. But it's just a matter, I think, you know, whether you believe in catching fish or don't. I mean, if you have problems with it, then I wouldn't fish because there's no doubt that when you catch and hook a fish, and especially if it's a bigger fish and you play it for a while, these fish do, whether or not you are releasing. Now, I believe, you know, in most of my fish in catch and release, you know, I believe in catching a few smaller, maybe walleyes, you know, for eating, but larger fish we always try and let go no matter what the species. But playing a fish, you know, you are using hooks and you are catching them, you know, in different parts of their body, wherever they may get hooked. And whether you release them or not, I'm sure that fish, you know, there is some, you know, strenuous times they go through. And if nothing else, they do get exhausted. And, you know, but people, I think fishermen are also some of your best conservationists. And also, I mean, if it wasn't for fishing and a lot of your license sales, there wouldn't be any fishing going on. I mean, a lot of your lands that are purchased, even your stewardships, a lot of this comes from license sales. So.
Yep. Thanks again, Marilyn. Roger in Baraboo, your turn. Hi, Roger.
Good afternoon. I'd like to just add that the Milwaukee River in Milwaukee, Estabrook Park, is an outstanding smallmouth fishery. It's just exploded over the years after they took out the dam there. And just for that fellow who called earlier, that he may consider that because it's close by. Also, Lake Painter up in Dunn County is an excellent smallmouth lake. So yeah. I just wanted to add that in.
Also, too, they're talking about the Milwaukee River. You know, I think it's been 4 or 5 years since they put walleyes in there, and the walleyes are getting to be good size. They're getting, you know, 20, 22, 24 inches.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, for that fellow who was in Crystal Lake, you know, that's a wonderful place, you know.
Yep. And southeastern Wisconsin, the rivers, and you know, there's some pretty good. It used to be really good, and then it's kind of gone down.
I'll tell you what's happened in a lot of places, though, like where they have removed dams. An example, the Baraboo River north of us, yeah. They took out the dam. There were like 8 different species of fish. You know, a year after they take the dam out, they have like 23 different kinds of fish plus forage. So there's no doubt that the old dams being taken out always improves fisheries. It takes away a lot of the silting in, a lot of sedimentation, and things kind of revert back to natural.
On to Dave in Madison. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Thank you for the program today. This is excellent.
Thanks.
I have a question for you about ice fishing, and I love to ice fish. Tip-up fishing for walleyes and northerns. One big problem I have, and it's kind of an ethical concern I have, is when you're tip-up fishing, a lot of times these fish swallow the live bait, and they get gut-hooked. And my concern and my belief has always been that a gut hook fish is essentially a dead fish. So then you're fishing out on Mendota where they've got an 18-inch size limit for walleyes or a 40-inch size limit for northerns, and you gut hook this fish and you're cutting the line and you're releasing a dead fish.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the law is the law, and still not all those fish are going to die. It's amazing, you know, what the body fluids inside a fish can do in a couple of days. You know, they'll dissolve totally hooks. That's why I don't take any chance. I'll cut that, you know, if it's a deep hook fish, I cut the line, you know, well above the hook. And if the fish is, you know, I mean, obviously I'm going to let them go depending on whatever the size limit is. But fish can pass, you know, hooks. Plastics. I've seen out of their anal vent, I've seen plastic, you know, rubber worms coming out. But their stomach juices and their body, you know, inside their stomachs can dissolve a lot more than you think. And it's still, you know, no matter if you think it's gut hooked, it's still the law and you still got to release them.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the law, somebody called in and said the new regulations clearly say it's illegal to catch fish out of season, not just morally wrong. And it certainly is illegal to catch.
To target. Fish. Yeah.
To target, yeah. Ron in Edgerton, it's your turn. Hi, Ron.
Hi. I'm a retired teacher, and I like to build custom fishing rods, and I especially like to teach kids how to do that. Ever since I've retired, I've been working with big brothers and big sisters all across Wisconsin. We've had about 25 classes since then. We take four bigs and four littles, and over the course of a weekend, we build eight fishing rods.
What kind of blanks are you using?
Well, I have a variety of companies that have donated. We've used Pack Bay, we've used St. Croix, we've used Lama Glass, just about anything.
Well, that sounds great.
That sounds wonderful. Ron, people are listening and might wondering, how can I get involved in this? You must have a website or a way for people to contact.
Yes, I do. I can. My website is just called customrods.org. Now, that's just my personal website. And you could also give my number if you're interested in that.
Sure, why not?
My number is area code 608-884-3742. Now, I'm also, if there's any big brothers and big sisters out there who would like to get involved, especially let me know that, because we can do that completely free for both the bigs and the littles.
That's a great thing, and as you know, you have to get kids involved in fishing at that young age, and if you don't get them by their early teens, you're never going to.
And so customrods.org, and you can find out all the information, even for big brothers, big sisters, on that website.
That isn't on the website, but that will get you
we'll
to
get
me.
You.
Get you to you. Okay.
I'm also willing to do it if you can get three or four adults who have kids that are over 12. If I get the father and son or mother, daughter, whatever, together, I would hold a special class just for anybody that can do that. The kids would always be free. Adults just cost enough to cover my costs.
Oh. Ron, you're doing great work. Thank you.
Free. Matter of fact, get a hold of me too, Ron, and I'll put something like that on my website too. So my email is gengberg, E-N-G-B-E-R-G.
Just a second. Would you repeat that, please?
It's gengberg, E-N-G-B-E-R-G, at chorus, chorus.net.
Okay.
And
right,
if you send me an email, I'll put some stuff about big brothers and sisters on my website because I work with a lot of children's groups.
Wonderful.
All right. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. And Peter in Milwaukee. Hi to you.
Hi. How's it going today, guys?
Great.
Hey, great program. Speaking of fishing from a young age, my brother and I used to fish up in Eagle River a lot when we were kids. And around mid-June, my dad was a college professor, and we drive up there. And now I know why the largemouth bass were biting so well, because they were still spawning. And we used to fish right on their beds, and we were too young to realize that it wasn't a cool thing to do. But, man, they certainly would hit hard.
Yeah. I mean, you have a captive audience there.
Yeah.
You sure do.
We used to have little tournaments between each other, and I lost most of them. But
I'm not saying it's bad to take fish off beds or something like that, especially if you're using like a crankbait or something like that, where they're not going to get it down real deep, and you can let them go, and But still,
the 1960s with cane poles and night crawlers.
You just like to have them reproduce now. You just worry about, the fishery itself in general.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Eric and Adams, we will go to you next. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Great program today, you guys. I really, really enjoy it.
How's that river up there?
I'm not sure. I've been a little busy. I haven't been able to get out there. But my question was, I do have a couple friends coming up from down south, and they're going to fish the Dells underneath the dam.
There were 55 boats there on Sunday.
No kidding.
Fish are biting, and then one thing about the Dells is, you don't have to fish directly below the dam. You can fish down, if you go down a little bit farther near the cables in some areas, you can go a couple mile or two below the dam and still do well.
Yeah, he's going up by the River's Edge.
River's Edge is a good place to launch.
Okay,
there's a guy, Botch Leonard is the guy who runs River's Edge there. Talk to Botch, B-O-T-C-H, and he can set you right and tell you what's going on.
Yeah, okay. What do you think about this recent cold snap? Do you think that'll slow things down?
Or? Yeah, definitely it's going to slow things. Fish will move back a little bit deeper, but it's going to bounce back up this weekend. So we're supposed to be back up in the 50s. So I think fishing is going to do nothing but keep getting better. You're going to have little upturns and downturns, you know, with the weather right now,
sure.
especially in a typical Wisconsin spring. Mm-hmm. But it's getting to be, you know, close. When you get that water temperature over 40, walleyes are going to start going. They're not going to chase an offering right now, but a real, real slow presentation.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I really appreciate it, and best of luck on the water for you guys.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Gary, thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry. It's always a pleasure, and thanks for everyone who was listening.
Gary Engberg, outdoors.com. That's his website. He's getting it all fixed up, so he's going to have a lot of new things on it, and kind of looking forward to seeing the new website as well. And I know the guy who's helping him with it. He's a very good.
Oh, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good. Gary Engberg, he'll be back again. We will talk with him again. Coming up tomorrow, hey, it's Friday. That means Garden Talk. Bruce Allison, Madison area professional arborist and author, will be our guest to talk trees. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.